And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Go.
Where's the music?
Go.
Now?
Now.
Go. Go home? I'll go home.
How long have you been doing radio?
Oh, I forget. It's maybe too long.
We've had the music already.
I didn't hear music. I didn't hear shit.
You don't have to hear.
Okay. All right. Take your word for it. Okay. All right.
Introduction.
Let's go, Stan.
This is Stan Weisleder
on The View from Over Here, and we are broadcasting live from the Mark Rao Studio in downtown glamorous Burbank. You've heard that line before a million times.
But we're live now, but you can't hear it live.
Exactly.
We're a podcast.
I'm here with my regular wingman and producer, Malcolm Berman, and our special guest today, Ron Placone.
Hello.
Who is... Yes, good.
You talk.
You have the strings in back?
Uh-oh.
Is that me? That's
somebody's
not me.
Somebody's cell phone.
That's you.
Shut
me.
The fuck them up.
Not me,
anyway,
man. Mine is off.
It's coming from you.
It's coming from
you.
It's
not
you.
Me. It's you.
It's me, son.
It's you, Stan.
Bitch.
It's you, Stan. Don't. You tried to throw me under the bus.
Unknown.
That's how you guys treat your guests? He tried to throw me under the bus. He was saying
unknown.
My phone is off.
He's only been doing this for 50 years, but
he
hasn't learned yet.
Now I've lost my place. Where the fuck are we? Okay, we're doing The View from Over Here. We have our special guest, Ron Placone, a well-known comedian. He's done all of the comedy clubs, and he's here to make us laugh. And if we can't laugh, we'll cry. Ron, say hello to the people out there.
Hello, everybody. Good to see you.
Are you looking forward to having the election? Do you do anything in politics?
I like to talk a lot of politics, yeah. Like, I'm on the Young Turks Network on YouTube, if you're familiar with those guys. And... you know, talk a lot of stuff on my show. And, yeah, I've been paying attention, man. I paid attention to the RNC the DNC.
I don't give a damn about politics. But for whatever reason, and there are many of them, this year I probably have been more interested in politics than all of the prior years all combined. I don't know why. It's just too much stuff going on.
It's amazing. I'm not incredulous about Trump. I'm incredulous about the people who vote for him.
How so?
How can you?
Right.
The people that vote for Hillary? I mean, she is eminently qualified, but you can't. She has no credibility.
But the important thing is you having someone who's president of the United States, who has the power to commit us into war, who is speaking to all the foreign dignitaries of the world, who is in charge of our finances. You need somebody that knows, that has experience. You have a Donald Trump who's like Biden said yesterday, you know, he knows the middle class. How does he know the middle class? He said it's a lot of malarkey.
That part I have to agree. That's true. He wouldn't know from the middle class any more than we would know from his class.
Right. His middle class probably is if he had to do a commercial airline where he would be first class instead of his own Trump Airlines. That would be to him a middle class.
That would be the hoi polloi to him.
Definitely.
Okay, but again, the president doesn't run the country. There are many people that have their finger on that so-called nuclear button.
Who do you think he would surround himself with?
With people
that's
exactly
just
like that.
Exactly.
and basically, he's the only one that could push it. He's the only one that could authorize it. And could you do a revolution? Well, it would have to be a revolution if he decided he wanted to do something and the people
around
him wouldn't.
When you talk about – so you're saying that he doesn't have presidential experience.
He doesn't have any experience. His thing is, if his project doesn't work, he goes bankrupt.
Or he fires people.
Or he fires
Malcolm,
people.
You're fired.
Or he cheats over other people. I mean, let's not forget the most financially successful thing he has ever done in his life. Been born. That's it.
Right.
Let's look at – I'm not necessarily for him. But I am definitely not for Hillary.
Well, the question is, it's what are you forced to do? In other words,
you know, I don't know, Malcolm.
If you don't vote for him, is that tantamount a vote in absentia for Trump?
If you don't vote for her or for him? If you don't vote for her, that's a vote for him. If you don't vote for him, that's a vote for her.
Right. So now who would you not like to vote for?
Malcolm, at this point, I have no fucking clue, okay? All I know is that it's a situation. And again, well, why did people even go in his corner? Basically because he's not a professional politician. People are sick and tired of the professional politicians.
They could vote for me. I'm not a professional politician.
You're a professional nothing, okay?
I'm a professional bullshit artist.
Well, okay.
I'm from New York. I'm a con man.
But they've been listening to bullshit artists all their lives. They don't want that anymore.
Well, he doesn't bullshit?
They all bullshit. Some bullshit more than others.
No, it's malarkey. Where does malarkey come from? Do you know that?
I have no clue.
Comes from Ireland.
Ireland.
The malarkey stone, I believe. I don't know.
That's right.
Blarney stone.
The Blarney stone.
Whatever.
Malarkey sounds
One stone is the same as another stone. What's the difference?
Except the headstone.
Yeah, that's where you draw the line. Okay, that's the last stone.
So do you have your comedy routine now based on the coming elections?
You know, I dive into it a little bit. It all depends on, like, if the audience wants to go there with me or not. I mean, I was a Bernie guy, so, I was a Bernie supporter.
Well, I could see Bernie, actually. As long as you could figure out how to pay for his program.
A 74-year-old socialist?
You know what?
The last time we had a New Deal guy in the White House, it worked out pretty good. And that's what Bernie is.
You're talking about FDR?
Yeah. Bernie is a New Deal guy.
Well, you know, growing up as a kid, I'm a little older than both you guys. When I was growing up, there was no other president. I mean, it was like, there were other presidents?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had him for four terms. I mean, he didn't complete the fourth term.
I think he was here like, 14 years before he passed? A year or two into a second
Not
term.
Even 14. He got elected in 44 and then died like in April of 45.
Okay.
So he took office in officially January of 45. And within a couple of months, he kicked.
What did he die of? Heart attack, stroke?
Something like that, combined whatever. He didn't listen to his doctors. That's one thing. He was a workaholic. He worked himself to death. He didn't listen to any of his advisors, any of his doctors. And towards the end, he was like losing it.
Well, my thing is, why the hell would you want to be president? Would you want to be president?
No.
It's probably the most difficult, hardest job in the entire world.
I can imagine your hair turning gray at the age of 30. How old are you, may I ask?
I am 20-something.
20-something.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't look a day over 21.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So how did you get into comedy?
You know what? It's funny. I wanted to do radio. I wanted to do radio, and I saw this article online that I'm pretty sure was, like, written in the 80s, but I just didn't realize it at the time. And it said, like, a good way to get into radio is by doing stand-up comedy because you can get, like, a third chair job or something. So I was like, well, that sounds neat. You know, I was a musician as a kid. Like, I played in little bands and stuff. So
what,
I was like,
instrument?
Guitar. I mean, I wasn't any good. Like, I played in, like, punk rock bands and stuff like that. But I was like, yeah, I can do that.
Did you
like
do weddings and bar mitzvahs?
No. We were not mainstream enough for anything like that.
You mean you can't play Havana Gila?
No. No. I wish. I mean, I would probably still be in the game if I could do that. Probably would have made it further.
I married a girl from El Salvador. So when we had our wedding, we had a band that was a Latino band. And they played all the salsas and marimba and all Latino music. But they did a great Havana Gila.
We're talking about bands. There's something on YouTube now. I saw it a couple of times. It is so good. The guy who wrote he wrote most of it, or maybe even all of it, Hamilton.
Yeah, Lynn.
Lynn.
Something.
Lynn. His last name is Miranda.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And this guy is an incredible pianist, and he could sing and whatever. He was getting married, and he got his friends from the show together, and he had her father do the intro, and it was supposed to be like an impromptu thing, almost like the Flash thing, the Flash bands and so forth.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all get up there, and they start singing, and his fiancée, or bride, actually, because I think they already concluded the ceremony. She was in hysterics. It is so funny. It is so good.
I haven't seen it.
You could catch it. It is. You got to watch it. It's really good. And you get to see how talented this guy is. Unbelievable. Your turn.
My turn. No, your turn. Right.
Are we recommending stuff on YouTube now? Is that where we're
going? You can recommend whatever you like.
Well, you grew up with YouTube and the...
I'm not that young.
Well,
no, I mean, I'm part of the generation of late 20s. I'm the generation of...
He's 20-something.
Yeah.
Are you the millennials?
I'm a millennial, and I'm the last generation to really play outside. Although, I guess that's coming back full circle.
He's the last millennial.
I'm the only one left.
Oh, you could become the last millennial.
That's how I bill myself.
The last millennial.
I'm the only millennial left. Everyone else quit the team. But I stayed on board. I was like, someone's got to represent the group. Yeah, someone's got to represent.
Yeah.
Someone's got to be the anchor here.
Absolutely.
So I'm doing it. No, I remember pre-internet, and I remember when it wasn't a resource, and then I remember when it kind of slowly infiltrated our lives.
So you remember original radio?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, you said you wanted to. Do you still want to be in radio, or now are you hooked on stand-up?
I don't know if there's such a thing as, like, being, quote, in radio anymore. I mean, I think now it's like we just live in a world of content. So I do stuff like, you know, I have my radio show and podcast. It's on terrestrial radio. It's on the internet as a podcast. I do video on YouTube,
too. How would we get your show?
Go to my website, romplacone.com, for everything.
Okay,
for
spell Placone.
P as in Paul, L-A-C-O-N-E. And, yeah, you can find my podcast. You can find my videos. You can find stand-up. You can find tour dates, everything. So, yeah, I mean, I think we just live in the world of content now. I mean,
someone else said that originally, not me.
Right. But. It's not like it used to be. Now, anybody that has a couple of dollars could have their own radio show.
Like The View from Over Here.
Perfect example.
Actually, and we're also webcammed. Would that be the correct thing, webcammed?
Webcam? Yeah.
Because you could see us. So I say Malcolm Digital Radio, but is it radio?
No, but a lot of people recognize the term radio, so they'll think if it has radio in it, it's legitimate, okay?
And if it has digital, we know we're on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now we've evolved so far where you say the word webcam and people don't automatically think porn. Because that used to be the case for a long time.
But actually, we're turning the show into a porn show. So I don't know if Stan told you, but the second half of the show we do au naturel.
Only the last millennials.
Yeah, we're too old.
Absolutely. Oh, speaking of porn, a lot of people are not aware of this. On Twitter, you know, Twitter, it's supposed to be a big thing. They have a lot of porn, and I've seen porn advertised on Twitter. I found one by accident. It was a thing from some big-time politician. I don't remember who. And it get the politician, and then it had some other things underneath. And then one of them
saw it on accident.
By accident.
Air quotes.
Well, you're looking at all of them.
Right.
And you don't know what it is until you open it.
Yeah. Stan didn't want to see this.
Holy shit, this is porn on Twitter.
Well, are you familiar with the name Anthony Weiner?
Yeah. Yeah, he got caught. He got his thing caught in the Weiner, yeah.
Right. And are you familiar with Anthony Weiner?
Oh, of course, man. The way that guy backpedaled was epic. They're like, is this a picture of you? And he's like, here's what I know. People can do stuff to images. Completely didn't even like. And I like the guy, actually. And I still do.
If
but.
You listen to him, he is a fantastic speaker. Got a great mind, great background. And all they think of people, you know, with his thing in his hand.
Hey, what about that guy?
He just wanted to send a lady pictures of his parts. Right. I don't see the big deal.
What about Pee Wee Herman? The guy's a good comedian.
Yeah, but that's
that was a little worse.
They caught him in
a
movie, jacking off or whatever.
Yeah, well, that I could see.
You could see. You saw it.
But you have to have a raincoat over you. In your lap. But you don't have to do that anymore.
You don't even need a raincoat.
No, you don't have to.
A napkin.
There was a day when you're too young for this, when if you wanted to see porn, you had to go to a movie theater.
Hey, I am old enough to know what it's like to struggle for porn, okay? Because, like, I couldn't get it legally. And, I'm old enough to know.
I have to ask you a personal question. When you personally perform, do you take your socks off or do you keep your socks on?
Oh, I keep my socks on, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm weird with feet.
What's that question?
That was kind of weird.
Oh.
Forget about it.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you remember the comedian Lenny Bruce.
I don't remember him. That was before my time. I know who he is.
I remember.
But Lenny Bruce had, he was arrested for doing profane language in his act.
Now everybody does it. Now even we do it, and we're nobodies.
We don't do it. I never use that.
You're right.
Do you use that language in your act?
I curse some. I mean, you know, Lenny's Bruce's whole thing was like kind of deconstructing language, and that's why, you know, he's making the case like clearly what I'm doing has artistic merit, and it did in a lot of it. But that was sad, man, because he kind of went off the rails because of all that. Like his shows were just him reading the court papers.
He got too much into politics and stuff like that, and trying to retry his own case.
Well, he was very much into
politics. Well, his celebrity just crushed him, you know? I mean, he was always into politics.
At the Second Avenue Theater in Manhattan many, many, many years ago. It was before you were born and may have been even before you were born. Anyway, there were cops there in the theater, but he didn't do anything to get them riled up and there were no arrests.
Mm-hmm. I remember
everybody was waiting for him to drop a bomb, like the F bomb or whatever.
I didn't know if you saw the movie Lenny with Dustin Hoffman.
I have not, unfortunately. I need to.
That was a good movie.
Take a look at it. One of his last acts were in the theater. He was in a nightclub, and he could see all the detectives in the audience and the police ready to arrest him. Mm. But I think there was something they couldn't arrest him during the show. They had to arrest him after the show. So what he did, he took off his jacket, rolled up his sleeves. He said, hey, all these cops are there. I know I'm going to get busted after. So you guys are in for a big show.
Wow.
And he did a few hours.
Yeah. Well, and I heard another thing, and I'm not sure if this is total folklore, but I don't think it is. Like one time when he was getting arrested, there were a few audience members that like took the fall with him. One of them was a long-haired young man at the time named George Carlin,
Carlin?
I'm pretty sure Carlin was like in the crowd once. That might be folklore, but I think that's legit.
I remember when George Carlin first started out, totally clean act. And then I saw him years later, and it wasn't as funny because just about every other word was a four-letter word, so it was overkill. Too much.
I feel like Carlin got better with age. I know not everyone feels that way, but I feel – and not like literally. Like I wouldn't say his last special was his strongest, but Carlin in like the 90s and early aughts I thought was just on a different planet.
Yeah, I liked him because he was more –
I saw him in the 80s when I saw
him.
He had more angst. He had more things that he was against of society. When he was a young comic, I think, I forget what show I saw him on, the Sullivan Show or Old Tapes, where he has short hair and he wears a jacket and tie.
Oh, yeah.
He's funny.
That's how we used to come on TV.
But he doesn't point to the insanity of life.
Mm-hmm.
And later, when he became long hair and everything, he pointed up how ridiculous this is.
Yeah, well, I mean, jamming in New York, one of the most popular wars, and maybe in my lifetime, what's going on at the time, the Gulf War and stuff. And Carlin opens up with 20 minutes against the war, and it was hilarious. It was brilliant. Mm. And that was actually kind of inspired by Bill Hicks, to my knowledge, because Bill Hicks was really hitting the war hard in the clubs.
Well, I wasn't going to mention wars, but now that you mentioned that particular war, they never really had any hard evidence that there were WMDs in Saddam's basement. Even if there were, they could have sent in a team to surgically remove it, not to invade a whole country.
Well, I'm talking about the one in the 90s. I mean, yes, that was a total disaster. The war on terror that Bush orchestrated was, a complete fabrication and lies. And I mean, I was against all of them.
Now they have the first Iraq war, the second Iraq war.
Yeah.
Desert Storm. They had their own.
They want to collect the set.
Yeah.
And they're well on their way.
I mean, my thing, the big thing in my life was, of course, Vietnam. I'm at the Vietnam age.
Yeah?
And that was at first.
You have some friends?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I had some friends.
Ah, jeez. Sorry, man.
If you had some connections, I was in the reserve. I was a military intelligence. If they ever invaded, if the Viet Cong ever invaded Manhattan,
then they'd call you up.
I'd be called to active duty.
You're doing something.
Right. If we ever saw submarines in the Hudson River from the Viet Cong.
They didn't have. Didn't have submarines.
I know.
They had little sampans or whatever they
were
called.
But that was a big thing. And in fact, people were worrying. I don't know if you've seen in history the Democratic Convention of 1968.
I've heard of it.
I've heard of it. But I didn't watch it because I was never interested in politics.
I was interested in politics. I started getting interested.
Well, that was McGovern, right? That was McGovern.
Yeah, McGovern, yeah. But that was the
it was in Chicago.
It was in Chicago when they called it the cops. The cops really started it almost.
Yeah.
With tear gassing everybody. And that's when the popularity of the war started going, anti-war. The mainstream. The kids were always anti-war.
Well, the popularity, well, first of all, I don't think that was ever a popular war. Of all the wars that we've ever been in, that was probably the most useless of all of them. Did we gain nothing?
Vietnam.
Yeah.
Vietnam and then this recent one, yeah.
If you're going to kill a lot of people, at least get something in return. We got nothing in return for that.
Well, that's what we're
except a lot of embarrassment.
Well, Vietnam, it was, I don't know if you remember, but there was with the Bay of Tonkin, where we thought that
and
the
history
Vietcong,
shows that
it was set up by Johnson.
It was a fake. Mm-hmm. It was,
That's when
a
the war
job.
Really escalated. When we sent in troops, it was called the Bay of Tonkin. They said that the Viet Cong attacked American warships.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that wasn't true.
But, you know, that kind of activity goes back to World War II. That's what happened when the Germans invaded Poland. They started it. Wham! So they took over the whole country. And then they went into Russia just to make sure.
Yeah.
How do you like this history lesson?
No,
I
appreciate
are you learning?
It. Yeah, no. I mean, but, you know, there's still a lot of questions I have from
you
that
know
era.
What? You seem to know.
Well, no, I just mean like one of my friend, well, my parents' friend, the guy that actually introduced my mom and dad, and I've never gotten to just sit down.
Are they still friendly with him?
Yeah, and my parents are still together.
Are they still friendly with each other?
Yeah, as far as I know. Yeah. I mean, they're still together. They're still pretty happy. Good people. But
and in Pittsburgh.
They're in Pittsburgh. Yeah, and this friend of theirs is still in Pittsburgh. They're still in touch. Mm. He dated one of the girls that was shot at Kent State. And I've never gotten...
Was she killed or just shot?
She was killed, yeah. Yeah, she was killed.
How did that fuck-up ever happen?
I mean, that's insane. Well, I mean,
shooting
as far as police
students.
Brutality
what
goes, we haven't
Jesus.
Come very far, but...
I know, but that was one of the, I think, the first where really then popular sentiment went against the war.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people weren't involved. They believed, love it or go, leave it. You know, the whole thing is if you were anti-war, anti what the government was doing.
Well, that's the same thing Bush pulled. That's the same thing Bush pulled with Iraq. Yeah. Same thing. The same, you know, fear-mongering rhetoric that I'd like to think eventually we can see through as a populace. But, you know, in so many ways we're the United States of amnesia. So they're going to be able to pull that.
But look what's happening now, you know, which is actually
as far as we know, it's all different, at least that from the news that we get. But the news is that at least it's corroborated by almost every other country out there. And I assume you're talking about the terrorism and all that stuff.
Anyway, I'm talking about the importance of politics and what's happening now, and I don't see how anybody can not be involved with the current politics. Because, again, I have two boys, 21 and 20.
Are they excited about what's going on?
No.
They don't care.
Disappointed. This is going to be their lives. Well, both of them are for Bernie, but they're not getting involved. And this is going to be their life. This isn't going to be your life for you and your children, because the people who are elected now, they're probably like at least two and possibly three Supreme Court justices.
Coming up?
Yeah. There's one empty seat now with Scalia that passed.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I think, is 82, 83 years old.
And she's losing it.
And, you know, after how long is she going to, still be there? And
hey,
probably
that's a lifetime job.
Well, that's how people really justify,
you can't
like,
get fired from that job.
Yeah.
Unless
you
die or you, hey, I'm tired, I quit.
Well, Arthur Goldberg quit, didn't he?
I don't remember, but I think you're right.
We have satellites in the sky that can verify all this information. And we know for a fact that at least Stan's phone is on. We know that.
Well, we could do it here. It's amazing. I think the new thing is Google.
Google. Yeah, you don't believe
me? All the kids are doing it.
Yeah. When I went to college.
Where'd you go?
CCNY, City College in New York.
All right.
It seemed like years in the library. in either City College Library or the New York Public Library on 42nd Street.
Yeah, you'll Google it.
And I would go, you know, if I needed magazine things or New York Times, I had to get the microchips and you go and...
Yeah. It was a chore.
It took days.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, they spent hours there. Now, if I want any information, Google it.
Yeah.
Malcolm, when I worked on the book, A Killer of Lions, originally all of my research was based on microfilm from the Air Force. Try to read it. You had to blow up every sheet, go to a place that did the blow-ups. Now you press a couple of buttons, and it's on your iPad,
mm-hmm.
your laptop, or wherever. Yeah. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think kids – do you use a library at all?
You know what? I did. In graduate school, I used the library a good bit. Granted, that was graduate school. But, I mean, I'll say this, and this is just a difference, like, from me growing up. When I was in undergrad, Google was around, yeah, but Google Scholar wasn't a thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, when you're, like, writing an academic paper, by the time I went to graduate school, Google Scholar was a thing. And bibliographies and finding resources and stuff with Google Scholar is so easy.
I haven't been in the library probably in about 10 years.
Where did you go to school?
I did my undergraduate at Indiana University, and I did my master's degree at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh.
Ah, and what were your what was your major?
Undergraduate, I was business because I didn't know what I wanted to
Everybody
do.
Everybody does.
Yeah,
that.
It's stupid. Yeah.
All
and then,
my friends.
Graduate, I have a master's in communication, so it's fun. I mean, I like it. You know, every now and again,
so
I'll get to
teach. So communicate with us.
That's what I'm doing, man. I'm doing the best
oh, really?
I can here. Yeah, I'm trying. So, last of the millennium.
Do you have any gigs coming up?
I do. August 25th, I'll be at Muse on 8th, a fun little venue there. I'll be doing a show, and the reason that one sticks out in my mind is because I'll also be playing a song after, so I'm really excited.
Oh, singing or guitar?
Yeah, man. I mean, L.A., there's so much going on in this town.
Is that one of your own or somebody else's?
The song that I'll be playing? I'll probably just play a cover. I don't really write much music.
Okay.
I'll probably just play a song. I mean, it's just for fun, you know, but yeah, I mean, in L.A., like, there's so many shows going on that a lot of shows, like, they'll set it apart somehow. And one of the – there's a couple shows out here where that's sort of a theme, where you do a set and then you play a song.
Oh. Do you do open mic things or
– Sure. Yeah. I hit up open mics, man. I still got to work out the new material, figure it out. I still go on the road, too. I go on the road pretty regularly. I'm going all the way up to Wyoming in a week.
Whoa. Well,
then, yeah, man.
Again, where can we find your schedule? Because remember, we're a national show, an international show. If you're doing anything in London or Japan.
Is it on your
own? I really want to get over there, actually. Both of those places. I've been wanting to do that area for a while,
you
like UK.
You need a good agent.
Yeah, no kidding. I got one for colleges, but that's all I got.
In
yeah.
some circles.
Books in colleges?
Yeah.
Actually, that's good.
Well, for someone at my level, that's where the money's at. Like, you kind of got to either do colleges. I'm still, for the most part, a little too young for cruises. I mean, there's comics my age that do cruise ships, but generally it's a little bit older.
Cruise ships are the senior groups.
Yeah, so usually it's
the
a little
last
older.
The comic
but
I saw on a cruise ship was Red Buttons.
Red Buttons? Do you ever hear Red Buttons?
I have not.
Oh, it was before your
Red
time.
Fox.
Holy mackerel. He was big at one time. He did movies and a lot of
TV. In fact,
TV.
He won the Academy Award for Sayonara.
Yes, he won the Academy Award.
Okay.
Sayonara?
No.
Yeah, for a dramatic role.
Yeah. Well, actually, good comedians will make the best dramatic actors because comedy is the hardest form of acting. And if you could do that, you could play just about anybody.
Right,
hey, look at Hank. Okay?
Hank Aaron.
A comedian and very underappreciated as an actor, but whatever he did stood out.
That was one of our guests here, Hank Aaron, who's
cool.
Also one of my neighbors, who played in the original Car 54, Where Are You?
Oh, cool. Right on.
Yeah, that's maybe your time.
No, Car 54.
When did that play?
That was like in the 60s. Are you kidding?
That far
I've
back?
Heard of it, yeah. But yeah, I'm not familiar.
I've never seen that.
The one who made his big name, well, a lot of them, but Fred Gwynne.
Okay.
Who, yeah, well, he went on to do other things.
Well, yeah, well, he was with the Munsters. He was.
That's what made
you know.
Him
I got
Munsters.
To meet. I got to meet Eddie Munster,
Eddie
the
Munster,
guy that
yeah.
played Eddie Munster.
Well, I forget his name.
I do too. Butch something.
You're talking about the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a kid anymore.
Right.
No.
Some vampires do, in fact, age, because he's a grown-up. But, yeah, I was playing this Superman convention, and he was there. I was just, like, a comedic entertainment thing one evening. But they had all kinds of, like, actors and stuff from various shows, and Eddie Munster was there. And he had this, like, replica Eddie Munster car. And he was a really cool guy. Like, he took a picture. We had a good old time.
Do you ever think of going into acting, or what's your future? What do you?
You know, I'm not opposed to it, but I enjoy panel stuff like this a lot more. So I'd like to
do. What he's trying to say is, what do you really want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, I don't want to grow up. That's part of the reason I'm in show business.
I haven't grown up yet.
Yeah, I don't.
My wife keeps on saying, "What the hell are you futzing around with this?"
See, I don't have one of those. Oh. I don't.
Marilyn
yeah,
says
nothing.
To me, "You know, you don't act your age. When are you going to grow up?" I said, "If I grow up, I'll be dead."
Yeah, well, no, if I act my age, you're going to have to put me in a home.
Same thing.
Fair enough, man. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hey, it's like, you know, don't need to grow up, and you know, you can sleep when you're dead. Whatever.
Even doctors say, well, not all, but a lot of them, if you retire, you expire. And as long as you keep working, you won't die. It'll make you, help you live longer, as long as you do a few other things. Don't pig out, don't eat too much, and try to do a little exercise.
Yeah, well, they show that the mind, everybody thinks you can't learn anything as you get older. But they do, they show, you know, with x-rays of the mind and different MRIs, that when you learn, no matter how old you are, different connections happen.
Mm-hmm.
It grows. If you don't do anything, you know, forget about it. That's why I tell people, you know, they say, when are you going to retire? I say, retire to what?
Yeah, I mean, I always wonder that too. Like, because sometimes, like, when you're in, like, any kind of creative business, people will be like, well, what about retirement? Because you don't have a 401k, you're self-employed. It's like, well, what am I retiring
who retire
from?
Retire are postal workers.
Cops.
People that have 9-to-5 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, okay, I did my time here. I get my little pension. I'm going to do something else.
Yeah, totally.
If there's nothing else to do, they find a good hobby that will keep them busy 40 hours a week. And that keeps you going.
But I don't play golf. I don't play tennis. But I like it. I like
there's plenty of this world you haven't seen yet. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty. I mean, like, my mom was talking about, like, you know, she's getting close to that. She's going to get to retire soon. She's like, yeah, I'm going to retire. I think I might get a part-time job. And I was like, why? She's like, I don't know what I would do to spend the time. And I'm like, you go somewhere. Come visit me. Come. Yeah, you haven't been to Southern California since the 80s. Come out here for a while.
Yeah, it's changed a bit.
It's changed a bit, I'm sure. Yeah, like go see some stuff. Get a library card. Learn a language.
If you go to Las Vegas, you skip a few months. It's changed.
Yeah.
Well, this is good. You're in a good area now with the communications and the telecommunications where you get into. I've always found this amazing in the Internet because I have people calling me up or people that I know calling me up from all over the world and say, oh, I saw you on the View from over here. Why? How did you get there? Either by accident, by YouTube or...
One click away, man.
Right.
Yeah. We have the global village now.
We've interviewed people from different parts of the world, right? We've interviewed people in France, Ireland, I forgot the places, but lots of places.
Because we're a phone call away. All I have to do is give a phone number and, Aaron answer the phone and we can get, we can't hear from him now. We've cut off his mic. So he can't talk to us. Now he's just laughing.
He's laughing at us.
But, any place from around the world.
And where's the air conditioning?
I'm comfortable in here. You're not comfortable, Sam?
I'm just giving him a hard time.
You're wearing a long sleeve shirt. Roll up the sleeves. Make yourself at home.
I'm giving him a hard time. I'm okay.
You're sure?
Yeah.
I can't get you anything? Cold drink?
No, I'm fine.
Hanging in there, buddy.
Blood pressure's fine.
Blood pressure? Yeah.
You have your heart monitor on?
I got my pacemaker in, my defibrillator, whatever it is.
And the Viagra tablets in your pocket.
You got that. I got everything. I'm on about 5,000 different meds.
Now, how about you?
Good, man.
Good?
Yeah. Oh, I'm rolling solid, dude. You don't have to pee. It's all.
Oh, I do all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Let it flow, dude. No judgment here.
He peed when we left the restaurant.
Yeah.
As soon as we got here, he had to pee again. I'm still going from this morning.
Well, the thing is, I like touching it, and we communicate.
Now we know what the situation is.
You zip open, you say, hello, how are you?
How's it going?
Haven't seen you in a while. Checking in with you, buddy.
I'm concerned.
Your belly doesn't get in the way? I haven't seen mine in years.
I lost 25 pounds last year, so.
Congratulations.
Okay, so you can see it again.
I can see it.
Congratulations. You look great, although this is my first time ever meeting or seeing you. So.
Well, you should have seen me last week. Do you do any, do you do exercise?
You know what, man? I do. I started because I was drinking a lot a little while back. This was a couple years ago. And I was just a bloated dude. And I started because, I traveled like 40-some weeks a year for a long time. Now that I live here, I'm not on the road as much. But I started just doing 50 sit-ups a day. And then I upped it to 100, and I'm telling him I lost about 50 pounds that way. And people say sit-ups aren't that useful, but for whatever reason, they worked miracles for me. And I just did 50 a day, then 100 a day,
listen,
and no matter what, I always do
that.
People
who say they're not useful, they say that because they can't do five.
Well,
I don't know, man, but for some reason, and a lot of, like, nutritionists and stuff will say, ah, sit-ups, but I don't know.
No, I'm an outlier.
I'm an outlier.
I used to be a workout not anymore, but all
were
of those.
Were you a sit-ups guy? Like, what was your?
I used to do up. My max was 200.
Okay.
If I did 25 now, I would double over with stomach cramps.
Well, when you were doing your sit-ups, did you also watch what you were eating, or just?
Yeah, I mean, I did other. I watched what I ate. I had an elliptical bike. I would do that a couple times a week.
Okay.
But my constant was 50 to 100 sit-ups every day, no matter what, because that was something I could just do in a hotel room if I had to. And that was the catalyst, man. I mean, and I keep that up. If I don't do it now, I'll get, like, indigestion easier. Mm. It's just –
you know what also is good? Experts say you shouldn't do it. Jogging.
Oh, yeah. Jogging's –
All the so-called experts, they say don't. Now, you used to be a runner.
Yeah.
Your wife was still a runner.
Still a runner.
Okay?
Well, I do little running, but I do a lot of walking.
See, I love to walk, too, because I can think better.
I do 3 to 5 miles a day walking.
See, that's really good.
Okay.
And I try to – well, now when I do my little jog, my friends say, oh, you got the old man jog. Because I used to do marathons.
Well, what qualifies the old man jog? Like, what does that mean?
That means
you,
it's –
I
thought a dude jogging is a dude jogging.
No. It's
there's jogging and then there's jogging.
Right. It's more than a 12-minute mile.
Hey, man.
12 to 15 minutes a mile.
That's actually not so bad. 12 minutes a mile. That's not bad.
No, but I used to do regular workout, you know, my 8-minute mile.
Yeah, so I mean,
you know,
Malcolm, when I was in my teens, I would do a 5.5-minute mile.
That's
now,
really good.
Shit. I remember when I was trying to get in shape before the academy, I went down to the track at Calabasas High School. I did 1/4 mile, which in the old days was nothing. I thought I was going to die right then and there. I thought my life was over.
Mm.
And, but it wasn't over.
It wasn't?
No.
Oh, okay. You still jog?
No. I'm more of a walking guy.
Walking.
I can think better.
Where do you live?
Silver Lake.
Okay. You go
lots
around Silver Lake.
There. Yeah. Echo Park Lake's not too far from my place.
That's a cool neighborhood.
I love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
A lot of people in the art business or with entertainment, art, communications,
doesn't
media.
Actually, everyone there does the same thing as me. But I'm the only millennial. That's like the only rule.
No, a lot of young guys there.
Young part of town. Yeah. It's cool. Like a lot of hipsters, a lot of coffee shops.
Yeah, because a few years ago, my son was taking guitar lessons down there.
Oh yeah.
And right next to, I forget the street, but there was like a cheese restaurant there.
Oh okay.
Cheese and wine you could get, and across the street it had the damnedest porno shop.
Sunset's got a little bit of everything. Yeah, there's all kinds of quirky stuff.
It was, at that point, it was very gay. And they had things I'd walk in there and say, what do you use that for? A lot of S&M. Mm. What do you use that for? What do you do there? You know, I looked and I said, wow.
Man on the streets.
Yeah, and I'm fairly sophisticated. I grew up in New York, and I remember when 42nd Street, this was, you know, the land of opportunity for an 18-year-old.
I don't know if I would call it that.
Land of something.
The land of something.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk about these neighborhoods. They change. The demographics are always changing. There are areas in New York now where years ago you couldn't even give it away. Now they're going for big bucks.
Yeah. A Bed-Stuy.
New York is so expensive these days.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, everyone always, like, they're like, do I go to New York or do I go to L.A.? And, like, when I was doing it, I mean, there were a number of reasons that brought me here. But one of them was, like, L.A. compared to New York is cheap.
Well, it depends. There are more places you could live a little further out.
Yeah.
And if you want to live in Manhattan, forget it. But
yeah.
If you would live in certain parts of Brooklyn or Queens or even the island, you probably could find affordable places.
Brooklyn is acceptable.
Even the air's getting pretty ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn is acceptable. But if you live in Queens, that's not as acceptable to people in Manhattan. But Brooklyn has some, like, yuppie, up-and-coming areas. That's accepted.
The Bronx.
The Bronx. Nobody goes to the Bronx unless you're looking for drugs or you want to get killed. Okay? The Bronx, the last time I was there, still looked like Europe during World War II.
That's when was the last time you were in Pittsburgh?
Last time I was in Pittsburgh was maybe 4 or 5 months ago. Not too terribly long. Did a show there at the end of February, so what would that have been?
Did your folks come to see you when you were there?
Yeah. They've seen me a good bit. Yeah, they're as supportive as you would want parents to be. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. Like, they're kind of like, hey, man, if it's what you really want and you're not begging us for money all the time, do you. But they're also not like stage parents or anything like that. I wouldn't want that, you know.
And so, do they like your act? I mean, do they comment? Do they give you corrective criticism?
Or? I think so. I mean, my parents are pretty progressive-minded folks. We don't agree on everything, but for the most part, we agree. They kind of like what I have to say most of the time. And
that's good.
Yeah.
Did you have brothers, sisters, or?
I have one sister. She is 5 years younger than me. And she lives in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm trying to get her to come down here. But
or
we'll
she's trying to get you up there. That's a good area.
Not really. She doesn't, I mean, because she just knows, like, why would I go up there? I mean, because that's another thing. Compared to San Francisco, L.A. is cheap.
Oh, yeah. San Francisco.
And, you know, show business is here. So why would I? Well, I love that city to visit.
Well, you have a lot of clubs.
San Fran is as bad as New York when it comes to expenses.
It is.
Well,
yeah,
there are a lot of, aren't there a lot of clubs in San Francisco where the only one I remember is The Hungry Eye, which I think Bill Cosby should mention.
I don't know of any in San Francisco. They're here in L.A. or maybe in New York.
Oh, there's a lot going on in San Francisco. Don't get me wrong. But it's changing, man. And they're really kicking out the creative class in that town. And first it's like they forced them into the Bay Area. Now they're all going to Portland. So, I mean, that town's definitely different. And I'm talking within the past 10 years. Yeah, I'm not talking like Haight-Ashbury.
I hear Haight-Ashbury is becoming expensive. They keep being, you know, when
that's
I was.
That's all yuppies now.
When
man.
I was there, yeah.
Silicon Valley money.
It was the beatniks and then not the yuppies, they were the.
Yuppies came later.
Yeah. Yippies or yuppies.
Not yippies.
The yippies was, that was even further back.
The flower children.
Yeah.
Those
around the yippies, yeah.
That was the 60s.
The last time I was in San Francisco, I got to have like a true authentic experience. I got to interview a guy named V. Vail for my show. And he's been publishing books for the past 30 some years. He started his publisher at City Lights Bookstore, through a loan that he got from Lawrence Ferlinghetti and Allen Ginsberg. They each gave him $100 and they said, go publish stuff. And that's what he did. So this dude was like grandfathered into this place right in the heart of North Beach. It's where he runs his operations and he's been there forever. That kind of stuff's kind of gone there now. I mean, I was lucky to get a snapshot of that.
Bro, yeah.
You know, because this guy, I mean, he's not like real old, but he's no spring chicken anymore.
I remember,
that's not as common anymore.
This was like, I think, in the early 80s. I did a race called the Beta Breakers. I don't know if you've ever heard that one.
I have not.
Beta Breakers, I think it's sometime in April. And it goes from the Embarcadero to the park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about 8-9 miles.
And what was it about?
And the big thing is you, at the beginning of the race, when you're, you know, it's chilly in San Francisco in the morning, you wear your sweats. And as you take off your sweats, you leave them.
Okay.
There. So the Goodwill or whatever charity would pick them up for the homeless.
So that's
cool.
The premise.
Yeah. But, which I'd failed to realize and became this big thing I'll tell you in a minute. But I didn't realize there were, like, over 100,000 runners.
Wow.
That were there. So at the beginning, it took me about 15 minutes to get to the start line. You're walking, basically, for the whole thing.
You better make sure you don't shed anything that you might want back. Because you ain't going to see it again.
No, you're not going to get it.
See you close.
But you look through pockets and get some things to
Malcolm,
smoke.
You've been in the New York Marathon.
Yeah.
Is there one for San Francisco?
Yeah. My wife did that.
Okay, I know that it started in Boston, I think. Then it spread to the other major cities.
Yeah, the original in this country was the Boston Marathon. And then I know London has a long marathon for many years.
Long? You mean?
No. Every marathon is the same. 26 miles.
Long running.
385 yards. And you better remember the 385 yards.
It's the most important part.
Well, how they got that, from what I understand, you know how they got the marathon.
Yeah, I know my Greek history, of course.
Okay, the marathon was the Peloponnesian War, where
they sent this idiot guy. You got to run there and warn them, and he did, and they measured the distance.
And it's 26 miles. It was Pheidippides, his name was, and he came back, and everybody says, "Son of a bitch, you should have died with 20 miles," because supposedly from 20th mile to the 26th mile is where you hit the wall. And hit the wall is where your body is completely deleted of glucogen with the sugar in there.
Whatever.
And supposedly your
he
muscles.
He must have been in fairly good shape.
But anyway,
was not a popular thing back in those days.
No, there was never. Yeah, it was if you were in wars.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right.
But anyway, so
took a lot from the Greeks. Yeah, we really did.
And they took the 386 yards.
Especially the gifts.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, but I like the Greek expression.
Which is,
women are for production, men are for pleasure.
I remember that. That was in all of the books.
But anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, anyway, at the end.
Who remembers?
At the end of the Beta Breakers, everybody is in. Now there were runners there that can run in groups. You know, everybody was like, there were dragons. Everybody was part of a dragon, and they would run as a team. And there were naked runners.
Well, that's what they did in those days. Their original Olympics.
No, I'm talking about Beta Breakers in San Francisco in the 1990s.
Oh, that? I don't know.
And then everybody would wind up at Golden State Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big party.
Yeah, I used to live in Seattle. They still do a naked bike ride every summer. Yeah, in the Fremont neighborhood.
That can hurt.
Yeah, man, you got to be careful. You got to be careful.
Well, were you the one that sent me that Facebook thing
for the boatload of people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were all nude women in a boat?
Yeah.
It was him. He's a dirty old man.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, all you the could, stuff he accidentally could, looks
you
at.
Could right. tell. You could tell just by looking at me, I know.
Right. I accidentally did porn, got porn.
I accidentally watched porn again. Yeah.
Do you know
Can't believe it. It's all over the internet. Who did this?
Why do you tweet with Twitter? Why don't you tweet with Twitter?
It was tweeted to me.
No, but it isn't easier to tweet if you were tweet versus tweet. What did they say tweet?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I've never been the biggest fan. I like Twitter, but I don't know.
I am not a tech person. When it comes to the computers, I know how to turn it on. I know how to turn it off. I know how to send simple email, receive simple
email.
So
how come you never answer my
research?
How come you never answer my emails?
Because they're probably not important.
You know, he's going to see you, man.
Do you use email that much? Or?
Yeah.
You find
that's been the most epic question so far this show.
Do you use email?
And do you text?
Yeah.
Or do you call?
Both, man. I still like a good phone call.
This is a very important question to the both of you. Do you find that iPads and computers, laptops or whatever, do they save you time? Because I'll tell you what my answer is.
I don't use iPads. I have my computer at home. I have a office computer, and I have the.
Once you try an iPad, you'll probably give up everything.
And the cell phone, I can do everything on the cell phone.
Yes, I just use my laptop and my phone. I never got into the iPad.
iPads are great because you don't have to log in, log off, Wi-Fi, this Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it on wherever you are. Boom, you're ready to go.
Yeah,
just have to keep it charged. That's the only downside, but
yeah.
I find I don't save any time, but it does permit me to do a lot more stuff.
A lot more stuff.
So I'm busier doing more stuff than before because I could do it faster at the speed of light or whatever speed it is when it's sent out. But do I save time? No, I'm just doing more.
I marvel at people who can do the pads.
You have to learn how to type one in high school.
But now I do it on the, I have the, I can
do
it by voice.
Oh, use the dragon?
No, I can do it by voice.
Oh, voice record. Okay. Yeah, I'll use that when I'm driving. I'll do like the talk to text stuff. It's imperfect, but you know, when you need it.
But the thing is, I like my wife and my kids, everything is texting. They don't call anymore.
See, I text a lot because it is a convenient tool, but I still like phone calls. Yeah. And honestly, I was a late adapter to that. I mean, because, you know, texting got really in with people my age. Yeah. And I at first thought it was weird. And even in college, like people would text me and I'd be like, what the hell is this? And I would call them. Mm. And they'd be like, hey, did you get my text? And I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm doing that. And they're like, why didn't you just text me back? I'm like, I don't want to text you. You're available. Why can't we just talk?
I like the iPad because, first of all, you could be more specific. You could look at it, catch your mistakes, edit it. Okay, it's good for writers. Edit it, change it, add a little, subtract a little. And then when you think it's just right, boom.
Yeah, I could do that over here with a phone.
It's hard. It's hard. The keys are hard to manage. Well, my fingers are too thick maybe. Maybe you have more delicate fingers, so it's easier for you.
Madonna would say I have a small hand.
Well, we adapt to everything. I mean, these days, it's like we adapt. Because, like, who predicted phones becoming what they've become, right?
The only one,
Dick
Tracy predicted it, but that's way before your time.
No, it is not, man. The Dick Tracy cartoon and the movie? I was a kid for the movie. That was my childhood.
But I remember seeing 2001's A Space Odyssey when it came out.
Yeah.
I think that was like about 1970, 69, 70, and saying, wow, can you imagine how life would be at year 2001? Now it's 2016, and sometimes it blows my mind being of my age. 2016?
All of the science fiction from when we were kids, we've passed it.
Flash Gordon is still around. But anyway, it's almost time for a close. Okay, tell us where we could reach, get a hold of you.
Have you written
anything
any books?
You want
have
to
you
promote?
Written your life history?
No books, man. I gotta get on that. That's on the trajectory. I want to get a book deal one of these days.
Say something for all of our people out there.
Check out my website, ronplacone.com. It'll have my tour dates, my podcast.
And how do you spell your name?
Show. Ron Placone, R-O-N, P as in Paul, L-A-C-O-N-E.com. Has my YouTube channel, has my podcast, has my tour dates, has everything you could possibly want to know.
Including your birth certificate.
Birth certificate is on there.
And you're born in this country.
Yep.
Okay, and you can prove it.
You're not
a birther.
My papers.
Well, just in case you decide that you want to run for office.
We never
could tell, you know. You might change your communications major. That's perfect.
Maybe I want to dive in. I don't know. You know, I had a guest on my show recently. He wrote a book about all the people that run for president. Because there's people like general people that will technically run for president. How many do you guys think did it this election season? Just throw a number.
I don't know, but it would 20? Have to be more than those that were up on TV competing against each other.
Right, these are general people. Yeah. You're saying 20?
God, yeah. I'd say
go
more.
Ahead, say
I'd say closer to 100.
All right.
How many?
1,700 this year.
Wow.
5 is average. 500 is average. This year, though, I think it's like a lot of people were discouraged. 1,700 people they all know they don't have a chance to win.
Well,
some are crazier than others.
They're making a statement.
I see a future for Michelle Obama.
Oh, I think after that speech she gave, I think she'd be great.
Chelsea, probably. Definitely Ivanka, the Trump kid. I mean,
that's another thing.
She is pretty and articulate.
If he bowed out and let his kids run for him.
We almost made it, Stan.
Anyway, guys, it's time.
Something new was uploaded on YouPorn. Stan got his notification.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, is that it?
That's it.
So
we're going to.
As our sign off, Ron,
say goodbye.
Say whatever.
Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate this. It's a lot of fun.
Anytime we could have you, we'll have you.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay. And this is Stan Weisleder here with Malcolm Berman and, of course, our guest.
Okay. Aaron, did you turn us off already or no?
No.
Okay.
We are saying adios.
It's a wrap.
Hasta la vista.
Bye.